All right, so today we're diving into something a little bit different, a case out of Maryland called Kirk v. Hilltop Apartments.
Okay.
It sounds kind of dry, right? Landlord-tenant dispute.
Right.
But actually, this case gets at some like really fundamental questions about, rights of tenants, especially in subsidized housing, and when someone facing eviction actually, gets their right to a jury trial.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to kind of unpack today.
Yeah, and this case is so interesting because it really shows how these very specific details in a lease can have like huge implications, right? Like we're talking about constitutional rights for tenants. Yeah, so we're gonna see how like a seemingly minor clause can actually make a really big difference.
Huge difference,
Yeah.
So to kind of set the stage here, a lot of folks in subsidized housing programs don't have like your typical fixed term lease, right? It's not like, oh, you sign for a year and that's it.
Right.
They often have this clause in their lease that automatically renews every year.
Automatically
Right.
renew.
But here's the key, right? The landlord can only terminate that lease if they have a really good reason.
Good cause.
Good cause. Yeah, exactly. So this is not just like, oh, I don't like you anymore. You got to get out.
Right.
There has to be, they violated the lease in some way or something like that.
Right. And this is dictated both by the lease agreement itself, but also by HUD regulations. And often by state law as well.
Right, exactly. So
Yeah.
there are a lot of, regulations governing this whole
A
thing.
lot of layers.
Yeah, so this kind of brings us to like the central question in the Kirk case, right? How do the courts actually determine the financial value of a tenant's right to remain in that housing,
Right.
especially when that value needs to meet like a specific amount to trigger that right to a jury trial?
Yeah, because in Maryland, if you want a jury trial, the amount in controversy, the value of what's being disputed has to be over $15,000.
$15,000.
So that's the magic number we can keep in mind.
Got it. Okay. So let's talk about LaShawn Kirk. So she was living in one of these HUD subsidized apartments at Hilltop Apartments,
Right.
and her lease had that automatic renewal clause.
It did.
The landlord Hilltop could only end the lease if they had good cause to do so.
Exactly.
So in March 2013, Hilltop, they started the process of trying to evict her. They alleged all these lease violations, right? Like noise complaints, property damage problems with guests, even some safety concerns.
Yeah, they were really making a case.
Yeah, but Ms. Kirk, she wasn't having it.
Oh.
She refused to leave and she demanded a jury trial.
Good for her.
Yeah, so here's where it gets interesting, right? Remember, in Maryland, for a civil case to go before a jury, that amount of controversy that we talked about has to be over $15,000.
Right.
Hilltop, they argued that, well, the financial value of this dispute, it's only like the remaining 9 months on the lease. So
All
they
right.
did the math and came up with like $12,708.
Which is less than 15,000.
Less, yeah, so they're saying no jury trial. But Kirk argued something completely different.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she said because her lease could automatically renew and they could only terminate it for good, cause her right to live there, it was essentially indefinite.
Indefinite.
Yeah, it could go on and on and on. So she said, the value shouldn't just be based on a few months. It needs to take into account like her whole life expectancy.
Wow, that's a big difference.
Huge, right? We're talking decades of housing versus just 9 months.
Yeah, and her argument actually has some solid legal backing.
Oh, yeah.
There are two cases, Carroll v. Housing Opportunities, Common Cotman v. Princess Anne Villas. And in both of those cases, the Maryland courts basically said, okay, when you have these subsidized housing leases with automatic renewals and this good cause requirement, the tenant's right to live in that property, it's not really limited to a specific
It's
period.
indefinite.
Exactly. It's more open-ended. And they said, when you're trying to figure out the amount in controversy, the value you have to consider the tenant's life expectancy.
That's a really interesting point. So essentially, these cases establish that, these specific types of tenancies, they could last way longer than just a year.
Potentially decades.
Decades, right? So obviously, the value would be much higher than just a few months' worth of rent.
Right, and that's exactly what Turk was arguing.
But Hilltop wasn't just going to give up.
Of course not.
They tried to argue that those cases, Carroll and Cotman, they didn't really apply to Kirk's situation.
Okay.
They said there's this other case, Carter v. Maryland Management, that's more relevant here.
And what was different about the Carter case?
So Carter, that involved like a standard fixed-term lease, right? It had a clear start and end date. So the courts, usually in those cases, they just look at what's left on the lease to determine the amount in controversy.
So they're saying Kirk's lease was more like Carter than like Carroll and Cotman.
Yeah, exactly. They're saying it wasn't truly indefinite, But here's the thing, right? Kerb's lease wasn't a fixed-term lease. It had that automatic renewal, remember?
Yeah, right.
So the big question for the court was, does this automatic renewal tied to the good cause requirement, does that create an indefinite right to possession for Kirk?
A very good question.
Yeah. And the court really wrestled with that. But in the end, the Court of Special Appeals, they sided with LaShawn Kirk.
Really?
Yeah. They really emphasized that good cause requirement in her lease. They said, look, without proving good cause, her lease, it could just keep going year after year because of that automatic renewal.
So they said that good cause requirement, it basically changes the whole nature of the tenancy.
Exactly. It's not just like a minor detail. It totally shifts things.
Interesting.
So because of that, the court agreed that her right to possession wasn't just limited to those 9 months. It went beyond that into the future.
So how did they actually calculate the value of that future, right?
So they looked at Kirk's age, which was 42 at the time, and her life expectancy, another 35 years.
35 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then they took the fair market rent for the apartment, which was $16,944 annually, and they multiplied that by her remaining life expectancy.
Okay.
So we're talking a lot more than $15,000?
A lot more.
Hundreds of thousands when you do the math.
So the court said, yeah, she gets her jury trial.
Exactly. The amount in controversy was way above that limit.
That's a really interesting outcome. So the court completely rejected Hilltop's argument about using just the remaining lease term for the calculation.
Totally, yeah. They said, no, you have to consider the potential long-term value of these subsidized housing leases with their unique rules.
Yeah, and this case has like broader implications too, right? It's not just about this one specific situation.
Right.
It establishes this clear method for figuring out the amount in controversy in similar cases going forward.
Right. It's not just about those immediate rent payments. It's about the long-term potential value.
Exactly. And it shows that these tenants in subsidized housing with these specific lease terms, they have a much stronger claim to their homes than someone with just a month-to-month agreement.
Much stronger. Yeah, and this also has a big impact on procedural fairness, right?
Absolutely.
It means that low-income tenants in these situations, they have a clear path to a jury trial if the value of their tenancy is high enough.
It helps even the playing field a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, the big takeaway here, I think, is that good cause requirement.
That good cause requirement, yeah.
It's not just some standard legal language. It totally changes how a tenant's rights are valued in court.
Yeah, it basically transforms a tenancy that could be ended relatively easily to something that could potentially last for decades.
Decades, yeah.
Yeah.
So to sum it all up, what's the key takeaway from Kirk v. Hilltop Apartments?
I think the key takeaway is that those seemingly small details in a lease agreement, especially those automatic renewal clauses and the good cause requirement for eviction, they can actually determine the financial value of a tenant's right to stay in their home. And that value, in turn, can decide whether they have the right to a jury trial.
It's a powerful example of how these sort of technical aspects of the law can have a huge impact on people's lives.
Absolutely.
So for all you law students out there, this case is a perfect illustration of why you need to understand the ins and outs of different areas of law.
Right.
You know, like those subsidized housing regulations and how they connect with broader procedural rules. It's not just about knowing the law in the abstract. It's about understanding how it plays out in real world situations.
Exactly. And it raises some interesting questions, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how might this ruling in Kirk affect other parts of eviction cases in subsidized housing?
Right.
Could it change how landlords and tenants negotiate settlements or even how landlords approach evictions altogether?
That's a great point.
And what about other factors beyond just the financial value? What role should those play in making sure eviction cases are resolved fairly?
Yeah.
These are all things worth thinking about as you continue your legal studies.
Absolutely. So much to consider.
So much to consider.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive.
It has.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.
See you then.